Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When you catch yourself wondering if the boss would notice if you ate some of the pig's food, that's when you begin to ask yourself, how did I get here? It seemed just yesterday I was full of dreams and excitement, cash in my pocket, no responsibilities, no loans or obligations or dates to keep. The world was mine to have, and I had it. I ate it up. The stories I could tell, well, I wouldn't share them with younger ears. I'd be lying if I said I felt bad about it. I don't. It was fantastic. I had a ball. I used to think of back home a bit about Dad, lovable Dad, kind of a sucker, but he knows it. And brother, slaving away. For what? Throwing away his youth. He could have been out there with me, you know, tearing up the town, having the time of our lives. Ugh, but now I'm so hungry. If only I had paid more attention in math class. Perhaps I could have done some simple division or something. This money could have lasted longer, you know. That's my mistake. I should have spread out the funds better to avoid this evaporation of everything so that I wouldn't be considering stealing from pigs. I'm so hungry. I've lost everything. Suppose I could go back. Shoot, Dad's got servants living better than I do. My brother will never speak to me again, or worse, he'll look down on me with that contempt, that smug superiority. I don't think I could handle that. I can't face him. But I'm so hungry. Would Dad even take me back? He's generous, so quick to forgive, but this would definitely be pushing it. I mean, how long's it been now? There are limits to mercy, you know. I can't be his son anymore. That boat sailed. I know. Mercy is too much to even ask for now. But maybe he'd pity me. I'd give up my pride for food and a roof over my head. I could try that. Go home and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. I don't know if he'd listen, if he'd believe me. I don't know if he'd go for it. Ugh, I'm so hungry. The father sits in his room paying bills and shuffling paper. The blinds on the window are open, and every so often he looks out. If he leans over just a bit, he can just barely see the front gate through the window. He knows this because he's been doing it for years now, interrupting his work, interrupting his sleep every so often to look out toward that front gate, wondering, hoping to see his son. He's just about to take his usual glance when he hears the gate screech open. Probably a worker of his or a solicitor. How many times do you have to tell them you're happy with your current internet service? He looks out the window to see who's there, and he can't believe it. It's him. He's out the bedroom door and down the stairs faster than a child at Christmas, bursts through the front doors of the house and runs down the path with the speed of a man half his age. As he comes near the gate, he hears from his son what must have been a well-rehearsed speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy. You're home. I thought you would never return. I thought you were, well, never mind that. You're home. I can't hardly believe it. I'm so happy. But look at you. You're so thin. Your clothes are worn and you're cold. And is that pig I smell? How long has it been like this? The father holds tight to his son, so tight that the son's filth and grime have mixed with the father's sweat and tears. Sweat because he hasn't run like that in a long time. The servants catch up to the old man finally, and before the son can decide whether to answer his dad's question or finish his speech, the father's issuing commands. Quick, get a robe, the nice one, and the ring, and sandals for his feet, and you prepare a meal. No, a feast, a celebration. Find the fattest calf we have and prepare it. Call the neighbors, invite everyone. My son was dead and is now alive. He was lost and has been found. A while later, as the sun dips low on the horizon, the elder son makes his way back to the house. He's pondering wheat and rain and harvest, but his thoughts are interrupted by singing. He looks up to see all these people going into the house. He asks the servant, "What's going on?" And he hears the whole story and thinks to himself, "I can't believe it. After the disrespect, after the foolishness, he has the gall to come back? What, did he think we didn't know what he was up to? News travels fast, dear brother. This farm, this business, it's been built up over how many years, how many generations, and you go and waste it all on that? And now you're back. Mercy has limits, you know. Oh, the anger I have for you. I've wondered what I'd say to you if I ever saw you again. So many speeches I've rehearsed as I've tilled the dirt that was supposed to be our dirt. Meanwhile, you're out there somewhere doing God only knows what. Speeches about honor and hard work and respect. Speeches about how you've broken his heart. He sits in that room now of his. How he's lost that joy that defined him. Speeches about how much he loved you. And you had to go and do that. I can't believe it. He's back. And they're throwing him a party. Dad's throwing him a party. How could he? I know he's had every thought I've had and more. And now a party? I can't go. I can't be part of a party for him. I won't. The dancing and music fill the house. Everyone seems to be having a blast, except oddly for the host. He smiles every time he sees his returned son talking to a neighbor, but then he keeps looking toward the door. The sun is now completely behind the hills. It's night almost. It's well past quitting time. The father goes back to his room to look out the window once more, and he sees there in the fading light his son standing outside the gate. The initial relief that he's back quickly fades as he realizes that his son isn't coming in. He's just standing out there with his back to the house. Immediately leaving the party behind him, the father is once again out the front door and down the path. He puts his hand on his son's shoulder. The son jerks away. How could you? After how much he hurt you, after how much he lost, after all this time abandoning us, and he's only back now because he's desperate, not because he feels bad, not because he wants to be here, but because he's hungry. He's using you again, and you're letting him. No, you're rewarding him, rewarding his dismissal of us, rewarding his selfishness, rewarding his foolishness and his lust and his greed. Is there no justice? Is there no sense of reaping what you sow? The world can't work this way, Dad. He'll never try to work hard again after this. I'm wondering why I even bothered. Why have I been slaving away out there in the fields? For what? I don't even get a goat, and he gets the fatted calf. How could you? Son, you are always with me. And all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. Dear child, you think I don't know? You think I don't know that this whole thing feels unfair? You think I don't know the dangers of people becoming complacent in my love? From the beginning, from the very beginning, my love has been squandered. Fruit has been eaten from the forbidden tree. Brother has killed brother. Status as beloved has been taken for granted and lorded over one another. They accepted my freedom from slavery and built a golden calf. They accepted my land of plenty and demanded a king. They accepted my divinity among them and demanded to sit at my right and at my left. They accepted my love and then kill me for offering it so widely. The beauty of creation is turned to smoke. The love of family becomes tribalism and racism. Gifts received become treasure hoarded. Believe me, I know. And I try to curb it. I've created laws and let the consequences of their actions run their course. I've watched my beloved suffer on their own account and even hoped it would lead to some sort of redemption. But I've never stopped loving them. I've never stopped loving you. And you're right. When I'm betrayed, forgotten like that, it breaks my heart every time. To see that boy walk from this house turned me inside out. To see my estate squandered, that hurt, but it was nothing compared to seeing my love ignored, cashed in like that. I felt like I'd failed. I'd felt like the pain was proving too much. Mostly, I was just sad. But here's the thing. I can't help myself. I will always leave room for mercy. I will always keep an eye toward the window. I will always come out to this gate to bring in my lost son, just as I came out to this gate to bring you in too. Because I love him. Because I love you. Because I'm head over heels in love. I can't help myself. It's who I am. Might it lead to complacency? Maybe. Might it lead to feelings of unfairness? Probably. Might it make you question the very purpose of all your hard labor? I hope so. My love carries no condition. I know you think it should. I know you think the world would work better that way. But I think it's better if you know that no matter what, no matter how long you've stood outside this gate, too afraid or too indignant to come in, I will always come out to you. I will always love you. Today, my heart sings within me. My child was lost, my beloved child. And now my child is found. Nothing matters more to me than that. Amen.